Testing 1, 2. There we go. Had the mute button on. Thank God he is never muted.
Amen.
He is speaking. He doesn't have a mute button.
Amen.
He always hears and answers prayer.
Yes.
And just like the songs we were singing this morning, sometimes we can actually feel the presence of that anointing. And it's still here. It don't leave.
Amen.
Just sometimes our body actually just gets in there with it and feels it. But you know what? Whether we feel it or not, he's just as strong and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. By the power that works in you. Amen? There's power on the inside of you and me and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not weak. Amen? We're strong. Even when we're 99 years old, we're strong. This is where our strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for his blessings. And as we get ready to prepare our offerings this morning, let's look over to the book of Matthew here concerning our offering this morning. And it's all about worship. In Matthew chapter 6, praise God, my Bible's already there. Look at there. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Amen. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourself. If he says do not, don't do it. Just don't do it. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But he wants you to lay up something. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. There's nothing in heaven that destroys. Everything in heaven is heavenly. It's a blessing. It doesn't grow old. It doesn't get weak. It doesn't rot. That's where he wants you to lay up your treasures. In those places where the thieves can't break in and steal, guess what? Because he ain't getting there no more. The devil's not going to be in heaven. He was there at one time, but he disobeyed and he fell. And he has no other chance. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven, because where, verse 21, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So you got to understand what the Lord's saying here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but there's more into this if you just meditate upon this. He's not saying don't lay up treasures in the bank account. He's not saying don't put money in your checking account, savings account. But he says don't have your heart there.
Right.
Don't have your trust there. Don't have your faith. Put your faith in heaven, in heaven's bank account. And that the bank account of heaven is when you give, it's going to be given back to you. If you just give to the banker, he's not allocated to give it back to you. He's there to save it and keep it for you. Where God keeps it, protects it, and gives it back to you, multiplied.
That's right.
Amen. That's where he wants you to know. That's where your heart's at. And if your heart's there, then your walk here on earth is going to be a lot pleasant. Because you're not worried about the money. Your heart's in heaven. And you're with the Master. And you have that perfect peace knowing I got a return coming. When I bring my offering to the Lord, he's in heaven and he receives it and he's going to multiply it down here on the earth. Because when it goes to him, it's in a safe place.
Oh, amen.
The thief can't take it. Even if it would happen to get stolen here on the earth, guess what? That's not where my security is. Well, God's got you really covered. Amen. You never lose anything you give to him out of your heart. So let's stand this morning. Let's believe him for the return, not only for this new year, but for past years. See, they're stored up in heaven, right?
Yes.
They don't go empty. It's a continual well of salvation.
Amen.
Amen. We are citizens of heaven on this earth. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. At any time we need things in our life, we need to expect it to be there, because we've already laid up our provision for it. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be looking at the economy. Don't be looking at the stock market, your Social Security account. I've got one building too. It's okay to receive from it. That's good. But don't have your trust in it. Your heart's not there. Your heart is what you bring here. Give it to God, and then he takes that and multiplies it in your life, in your body, in your finances, and in your family. Amen. So let's agree on that. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, that we're a church that believes that when we give, we're not giving to a natural environment, Lord, we're given to a heavenly account. We're putting our finances, our trust in you, Lord, into the heavenly account. And Father, we thank you, Lord, according to your word, that Jesus, we're not laying up treasures on this earth. We're laying up treasures in heaven today. And we have laid up treasures in heaven, Father. And we thank you, Lord, right now for the return that you will reward us openly here on this earth. Good measure, pressed down and shaking together, will men give into our bosoms this year and in the future, because it's going to be so bright, Lord, that we can't help but squint and look at it. So, Father, we just thank you for that right now, for the return, for your people's blessings today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just because I turned the lights down low, don't you go to sleep on me out there. Because you don't know I've been up here, and I might have rigged something in your pew that might shake you out a little bit. All right. I'm going to quickly do a little summary, and then we're going to get into the third message that the Lord gave me for 2015. But quick summary. First message is a time of refreshing. And like I said, we had that this morning. And we talked about that. That is, times of refreshing start when we enter into what? The presence of the Lord. And that time of refreshing just don't have to happen on Sunday morning. It happens when you lay down and it happens when you get up, because he never leaves you nor forsakes you, right? Yes. But we need to spend time in that knowing. Time in his presence. And that's where our strength comes from. And we talked about repent. Sometimes we need to repent. Now, just because we don't repent and come into his presence doesn't make us not worthy. We're still worthy. But what it does, it hardens our heart toward God. He never turns his back on us. But if we don't repent some things that we know we need to repent of, what it does, it can bring guilt and condemnation to you. And that's the devil working. That's why God says repent. If you confess your sins, if you sin, confess it and get done with it. So you can have times of refreshing. He don't want you to be thinking about what you did. He wants you to be thinking about who he is in that time of refreshing, in that special place. Amen. So from there we got refreshed, and then we needed to get refueled. And that's a lifelong process, Ruthie. Refueling. We have refueling stations everywhere we go. And we talked about, just as our body needs food and water to live, our spirit man needs some food. The Word of God. That has to be in his diet to survive and thrive here on this earth. Now, you can be a walking dead man, still be alive, but you can be dead unto God. That's what the Word of God does. It makes you alive. It takes that dead man and makes him alive. So even after we get born again and we become alive unto God, we still need that life-giving source, amen, so we can help somebody else out, so we can become strong in the things of God. We have to spend more quality time this year doing that, spending time in the Word and in the Spirit, in his presence. So you study the Word, and then you just get still if you need to get still, or you just meditate upon his Word, and that takes you into the Spirit. And then now you're communicating in a heavenly realm that the earth, a lot of people in the earth don't understand, don't have no idea that it's even here. They see it, but they can't comprehend it. But we're going to show them.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. By the fruits in our life, we're going to show them this year and in the years to come. And then today's message is going to be a time to refire. Anybody own firearms in here? Oh, don't raise your hand. I do not have any at the house, but I have owned a firearm and have shot it a few times. And, you know, if you don't have no ammunition in it, guess what? You can't refire nothing. You're going to miss your target, and you're going to hit nothing every time. But when you refire, it's doing something that you've already acquired. Yes. And our keynote scripture is going to be in Revelation 2:4. Let's jump over. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but as I was asking the Lord what main point about refiring, he reminded me of Revelation. And Revelation is not a, scary book. It's Jesus revealed to the church. We need to spend some time in the book of Revelation so we can have some things revealed to us. In 2:4, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have lost or left your first love." refire. Sometimes our love needs to be refired. Amen? That can be your love with God, love with your family, love with your friends, love with your wife. Refire might just go right into a good marriage enrichment seminar. Refiring some things. Nevertheless, Jesus said, I had this against you, that you have left your first love. Let's read Revelations 2, 1 through 5 and get a little bit more understanding what he was talking about. Now, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those things who are evil, or those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be what? Liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. And then he went on to say, but nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. And in other words, he's saying it's time to refire. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. The Lord's speaking volumes to me here. The first love, and this can be, there's more revelation to this, but what he's ministered to me personally, and I've always taken this, that sometimes I forget my first love, which is Christ. Now that can be applicable too, but what he's ministering to me and what he wants you to know is we can never forget that first love, which is in verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. In other words, sometimes we get to where we just compromise. We start thinking, it's not so bad. We're leaving our first love. Because Jesus abhorred evil. No place for it. There was no place for that in him. He said, the devil has no place in me. We cannot give him no place. Now, I'm guilty, and we could probably all raise our hands, that we give him too much place. All we got to do is repent. Go back to the Word and see, I'm not going to stand for this. This ain't going to be in my house. This ain't going to be in my life. Because Christ wants to be, he wants to inhabit every area of my life. So that first love is never light evil, any kind of evil. The Bible tells us to even run from the very presence of it. I'm guilty there too. Because what we do, we can become a liar to the Word of God. So it's very important that we understand this. The Lord wants us to always have a righteous anger for evil, especially for what? Hypocrisy in the church. And I'm just saying the church because we're in church, but anywhere in our lives, hypocrisy is evil. If Jesus sees it as evil, we need to see it as evil. And don't even think it to be lightly. Don't even take it lightly, jokingly. It's evil. And the devil don't work. He just don't come in one day and just totally destroy your life. He'll come in bit by bit, little by little, here, there, a little there. Till he's trying to get you away from your first love. He wants you to compromise those things. Marriage is one big thing that we're not going to compromise, right? I mean, that's just one area I'm thinking about right now. There's evil in the marriage covenant in this earth that God never intended to have in there. And we are not going to compromise that. And God hates that when people say it's okay. And God says, no, it's not okay. That's falseness, hypocrisy. And it brings destruction in our lives, and it can. If we ever lose this anger, this first love, we're saying we do not truly understand the love of God. Because the Bible teaches us that perfected love casteth out fear. And sometimes we can't understand why things ain't working in our lives in a certain area. Well, have we let hypocrisy into our lives? Are we entertaining evil? And it's grown in our lives. It becomes more predominant. All we got to do is go back and repent, therefore. And just turn. Turn things around. Turn the light on. The light exposes the darkness. And say, no, this is it. No more hypocrisy. I'm going back to my first love. I'm not going to, going back to Jesus. What does he say to do? This is our first love. This is where we need to refire every day. Amen?
Yes.
And to stay on fire for God. Let's go back to the book of Mark now. Revelation always gives us, you know, some stern rebukes and some warnings there, and it's for a purpose. You know, when you have a stop sign out there and it says stop, it ain't there just to say stop if you want to. It says stop. There's traffic coming down the road. The book of Revelation, there's some rebukes and warnings that say, hey, don't do this. It's important. One of these days, all my children will understand what that word no means when we said it. It ain't saying that we don't love you. It's saying that we do love you. Because we're wanting to keep evil out of your life so that you can entertain God and his promises and be a blessing and walk in the blessings of the Lord. Mark 11, I'll give you the verse yet. Bear with me. We're going to read 1 through 25, and I'm going to do my best to get through today, and I think we will. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you. As soon as you have entered into it, you will find a colt tied and on which no man has ever ridden. Loose it and bring it to me. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? The Lord has need of it. Tell him. And immediately he will send it here. See, Jesus ain't a thief. God's already spoken to that person. They've already laid a colt for him. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door, just like Jesus had said. And I might paraphrase this a little bit. But some of those stood by and said, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing loosening that colt? And they spoke to him just as Jesus had commanded. And they said, they let him go. See, it pays to say what Jesus says. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road and offered others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out. I heard some crying out in this church this morning in worship. It was crying out unto the Lord. It was crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. They weren't just saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. No, they saying, Hosanna, Hosanna with a loud cry. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. What they were saying here, I'm not sure if I've got it here. Let me just keep on reading here. And Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off having leaves, he went to see if there were perhaps something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And then he taught, saying to them, is it not written that my Father's house shall be a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because of all the people were astonished at his teaching. And when evening had come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed, it has withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, he will have, but believes in those things he says will be done, and he will have whatever he says. Therefore Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But don't forget 25 and 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, you forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven is not accounted to forgive you. So I said a lot right there. But now let's look in verse 10. Now we're going to start breaking it down a little bit. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David. They're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That word Hosanna means save now. See, the people were acknowledging now that Jesus is the Messiah. This is like a week before he's going to the cross. His days are shortened. But now the people are starting to cry out. There's something happening right now in the hearts of the people. They are acknowledging Jesus as their Messiah, as their King. But the religious people, I'll go ahead and say the hypocrites are not. They're supposed to be the ones that are saying, pointing people to God. And here comes God down the road into the city. And we got people praising and saying, Lord, save us now, save us now. And we got others getting upset because attention is being drawn away from them to somebody else. See, Jesus is their Messiah. Psalms 118, 25, and 26, this is what they were accrediting him as being, the Messiah, their King. Now, Mark 11, I might have put that in there because we didn't read that. Yeah, I duplicated that in there. Verse 11, let's look in verse 11. Remember, Jesus, as he went into Jerusalem, he's going to the temple. He's going to his Father's house. He's going to church. And when he gets there, in verse 11, it says, Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around, picture this self now. This ain't a Jewish synagogue. This ain't a temple. But there's buying, there's selling. Think about going downtown Charlotte to one of the festivals they're having down there. Buying, selling. Hey, come over here. No, we got the best doves over here. No, we get 5 cents on the dollar. Just bargaining. All kind of stuff going on. Jesus is looking around at all things. Have we let him come in our house and look around at all things? Will we open up the door and let Jesus in there? I'm pointing fingers at myself. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Would we let him come into our house and look around at all things? Lord, sometimes it's time to refire and repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. But you are welcome at my house. Let me get this out of your way. Let me get this out of your way. He was looking for something. Intently, he was looking for something, but he said nothing. How many times have, you know, we've been doing things know is contrary. He ain't going to say nothing. He knows we know. There's time as parents we don't say nothing, and we know that they know. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Shouldn't even have to say anything. We're kind of waiting to see what they're going to do. Jesus is looking around for something. Just don't think about that. We've already read it. But now we're going to refire. We're going to reread what he's saying. Because I want to show you what Jesus is looking for. And when he did not find it, he took his liberty. We had liberty this morning here in this church during worship. To worship God. To refire. To refuel, be refreshed by his Spirit. And Jesus took his liberty when he didn't find something in the temple. And I'm going to take you back here. We don't want to go to conclusion yet. Don't even look at that. Because I know what I'm supposed to do now. I'm supposed to read in between the lines. And I didn't put none there. So look at the picture. Jesus, in verse 11, went into the temple, looked around at all things. And the next day, remember, he was looking. He went to church looking for something. In verse 12, the next day, when they came out from Bethany, what was he? He was hungry. His body, he was hungry. When we leave church, I'm hungry. You hungry? I'm hungry when I get to church. Amen? Because Ruthie don't fix breakfast. I'm hungry when I get here. She knows how to cook. Just got to get her up earlier. The next day, he went out and he was hungry. And seeing, Jesus saw a fig tree far off. I see they don't make one of those apple pies at McDonald's. They don't make an apple pie tree. I like apple pies. But Jesus saw a fig tree. I see a fig Newton tree. See, they come from figs. I like fig Newtons. Afar off, he didn't have glasses on. He saw it afar off, but he couldn't see quite details until he got a little bit closer. So he went. And it had leaves on it. That's important. The fig tree had leaves on it. He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but the leaves. for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, he's speaking to a tree, yeah. We need to speak to trees, to dogs, to your bank account, to your enemies, to your friends. We speak to things because we speak life and death out of our mouth. In response, Jesus said to this tree, let no one, not just me, no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So he didn't just say, no more figs from you, tree. You've been a bad tree. He said, tree, I curse you. Die. Fruit never come from you again. Nada. They heard it. So he said it loud enough where they could hear it. He wasn't happy because he was hungry. Amen. He was ready to eat a fig. Newton, fig. The fig tree was being a hypocrite. The fig tree was saying, because it had leaves, but it wasn't even the season. He's getting ahead of his season, ahead of God, who created him to be a fig tree. And you put leaves on when everybody else has their leaves on. Because I'm no respecter of leaves. Paraphrase, this is God, right? But the fig tree is saying, no, I'm better than that fig over here. I want to put my leaves out now. Well, if you're going to put your leaves out, you better have some fruit. Because God created you. If you've got leaves, you're supposed to have fruit. Because the master's coming by to dine at your table. He's coming home to your house. What's in your pantry? What you been laying up in your heart? We're talking about, right? That was last week's sermon. There was nothing there. The fig tree's being a hypocrite. The master's hungry. What did he say in Revelations? Unless I take the lampstand out from you? Because he was talking about evil. The tree is being evil. God did not create it to not have fruit. He created it to have fruit. Because God creates everything good. If a tree ain't producing fruit, it's underneath the curse. And God's not involved in the curse. But it got cursed. Because Jesus said, at one point, he said, who do you submit yourselves to? The devil or to God? Because whoever you submit yourselves to, you're going to have fruit. You obey God or you obey the devil. There's only two families. It was being in the curse, so Jesus finished the deal. Okay, just go on. You ain't bringing fruit. You ain't worthy for nothing. Thank God we're not a fig tree. He's not. The fig tree can't repent. We can repent, right? Amen. We can repent. Hallelujah. Okay, so Jesus is still hungry. Amen. Still hasn't had no fig tree, no fig Newton. Okay, now where are we going? We're going back to church. I went to church hungry. I left church to go get me something to eat. They closed on Sunday. Thank God for Chick-fil-A. That's a good thing. Close on Sunday. I'm just paraphrasing here. Jesus went and the store was closed. Here's a fig tree saying, hey, I'm supposed to have figs. But I'm not. That'd be like going to a restaurant and say I'm open 24/7 and it got the door shut because somebody didn't come to work that morning. Hey, being a hypocrite. If you open 24 hours, you better have somebody there. Well, you're going to get a call from the customer service manager. You're going to be getting a call. So Jesus is going back. They came back to Jerusalem. So they came to Jerusalem and Jesus went into the temple and he began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. What is he doing? The fig tree was a hypocrite. Now he's going to church. What is he finding there? The day before, he looked around at all things. What was missing? This is my Father's house. Where's the Father at? There's nothing here but hypocrisies. Where's the preachers at? What are they preaching? What are they allowing in this church? This is what he's thinking the day before. But he didn't refire yet. He said, man, there's a lot of stuff going on here, Dad. I'm going to go get me something to eat, and I'm going to think about this. And then we're going to come back tomorrow, and we're going to have the wisdom. And went out and found the fig tree with nothing on it and cursed it. And then he went back to the temple after he had got with the Father and been meditating on, oh, okay, Lord, what we're going to do when we go back to the temple. He said, I do nothing except the Father tells me what to do. Jesus went back in other Gospels, they tell us that he sat down and he plaited a whip. So he just didn't go right back and get the whip out. He went back and still looking around at all things. Time to repent. Repent. You know, Jesus is sitting here. There's plenty of time to repent while he's making this whip. Nobody even noticed him. He looked all around, but nobody even looked at him. Nobody even noticed the King of Kings. They saw him. They heard about him the other day as he was coming into Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna. They ignored the King of Glory. Wouldn't let him in. So he's coming in, and he's getting ready to refire. Because he has been refreshed. He's been refueling because he is always in the presence of the Father.
Yes.
Always doing the will of him that sent me. Not my will, he said, but your will. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to tie some loose, how would you say that? Tie up some loose strings that's been in the church, that's been hanging around. And he's doing what the Father told him to do. He went back in there in verse 16, and he would not allow anyone, because he drove out the money changers, the seats of those whose soul does, and he would not allow. He took authority over that church.
Yeah.
Now that's what the pastor has to do. That's what I have to do. I'm not fired up at you this morning. I'm just showing you hypocrisy in the church. Not allowed. We don't have to put a sign out there. I'm the sign.
Amen.
I'm going to have to use that authority and say there's no hypocrisy. And we do it in love. I'm not fired up like Jesus. I'm not saying this church. I'm just saying this is what he found in the church. And there's a lot of churches out there we could probably find this.
Yes.
So we like Barney, we just like to nip things in the bud. I had a good pastor, Gary Price, but also Jim Howard. If something was going on in church, he'd stand up here and nip it real quick in love and be done with it. That's all they had to do was repent. That's what Jesus is telling us. That's all we ever have to do is just repent. We mess up, repent, come back to him, and he will reward us openly. We don't want to be, our hypocrisy does not want to be opened up openly. He does not want to embarrass us. He wants us to come to him, and then he will do things secretly for us.
Amen.
But if not, we go down that road, guess what? You're going to be exposed openly. And you don't want that. You don't want judgment. I want mercy. Amen?
Yes.
Well, I mean, we got steps here in the Bible. We deal with hypocrisy. We deal with sin. But this is how Jesus dealt with hypocrisy right then in that area, in that church. And he said in verse 17, then he taught. After he did all that, he refired. He got the whip out. He turned over these money changers. He had a fit of anger. I'd say anger. Righteous anger come upon him. This is my Father's house. This ain't going to be happening in here. And he took care of business. Got the whip out. He didn't kill nobody. He just destroyed their work that they were doing in church that was not, that was hypocrisy. It was not what God wanted in the church. Or it wasn't being done the right way in the church. They still had to do sacrifices and everything, but they were not doing it from their heart. They were doing it from their pocketbooks. They made it a business instead of being a blessing to the people. And Jesus said in verse 17, after he did all that, guess what? It's time for a teaching. Time to come to Wednesday night Bible study. Tammy's going to teach you something now. The pastor done refired Sunday morning. Now you better get here Wednesday night. Either pastor or the teacher Wednesday night is going to teach you some things. See, Jesus just don't do something and say, well, why am I getting rebuked for, Lord? He'll teach you. And he said, is it not written that my house... See, Jesus took it personally. See, that's God. He said, this is my house too. This is what I want to see in my house. This is my Father's house. And my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And that's what we had this morning. That's what we're having right now, fellowship. Because God's in this house. His work is in this house. It's not about, and when we come here and I have to do this, you know, you just got to crucify the flesh daily. Forget about what you're dealing with, even on the way to church. Because I'm seeking to be a time of prayer. I want to be a blessing to others. And God's going to take care of my mess. Amen. Because I'm thinking about others. That's what the church is for. It's about being there, serving God, and serving others. And Jesus was, it cut him at the heart when he saw that the day before. And I know the Lord, he was hoping, Father, when I go back, hopefully, this ain't going to be happening tomorrow. He didn't want to have to get the whip out. He wanted to get his Bible out and open up his heart and teach them. But he had to go back and get the whip out. He was hoping things might have changed. Just like when he went to that fig tree, he was hoping to find some fig on it. So you go to church, you're expecting to receive what God... That's the leaves. There's supposed to be healing here. There's supposed to be love here. And there is. I'm just saying, this is what he was saying. It was not here in his time. This is what's supposed to be in my Father's house. Love, helping one another. No divisions. No strife. All these things that hypocrisy tries to bring into the church. Evil. Just put evil on it. But Jesus said, this shall be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes, even here, even after Jesus did all that, It just got the priest and the scribes, the religious hypocrites, and it said, verse 18, and the scribes and the chief priest heard it and sought how they might destroy him. The Bible says in the last days, they're going to say, what is good, they're going to call evil. And what's evil, they're going to call good. We're sitting right in those days where they say, marriage between a man and a man is good. Don't hurt nobody. Don't offend nobody. Treat everybody the same way. We do love everybody, but we got a black and white. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Amen. And we don't compromise that because we don't want our lampstand being taken out. Amen. We don't want our anointing not working in our lives. We love people. We'll tell you the truth. The Bible says, "Have I become your friend? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" See, we got to tell people the truth because that's true love. That's the first works is say, hey, this is wrong. I love you. Now it's on your plate. The ball is in your court. This is what God says to do. I'm God's spokesman. I'm delivering this message to you. Now the ball is in your court. What are you going to do? Are you going to slam dunk it? Are you going to shoot a three-pointer? Or are you going to sit on the bench? I won't be the slam dunker, man. Take that ball and go down to court and slam dunk it and take the victory. Amen?
Amen?
Drive hypocrisy out of the church. Just keep it. And like I say here, we'll just keep it out of the church. Amen? Keep it out of our lives and keep it out of our home. Because they wanted to destroy the Lord. But they feared the people. Because that was their income. These people are bringing taxes. They're paying their salary. We don't want to get the people mad. So how are we going to handle this? And all the people were astonished. Jesus got to stay there and teach at church. And the scribes and the chief priests, they were just in indignation. And when evening came, he went out of the city. Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered. Thank God you're remembering something right now, today. You're going to remember things that you've heard today. What Jesus said in church, you're going to remember that because that's what Peter did. He remembered what the Lord said. And he said, look, he was kind of expired. Look, Jesus, what you said, it really did work. The fig tree you cursed, it's gone. Dried, it's fallen down. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, Peter. In other words, have the same faith that God has.
Yes.
You have that faith. I have that faith. We have that faith. And he said, if you have that faith, and when you operate in that faith, Jesus said, for assuredly, I say to you, Peter. He said to Peter one time, remember the famous saying he said to Peter? Jesus asked him, who do men say that I am? What did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He spoke from his heart. He'd been with the Master. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, blessed are you. Because you have not spoke what men you spoke. You heard from my Father in heaven. And Peter said, Lord, remember. He remembered what Jesus said. And Jesus is encouraging him and he's encouraging you today. The faith that you hear here. The faith that's in this word. The faith that is in you. You have that same measure of faith. Now you can have different measures of the anointing depending on how much of that faith you operate in. See, you know, I don't... Reed doesn't have any more greater faith than I do or than Ruthie does. He has given us the measure of faith. We have the measure, same measure that Jesus had. But Jesus operated in it continually, daily, and he had a stronger anointing because he just decided, hey, this is who I am and I'm going to act like this all day. If you come see me in the morning, I still love you. I still kiss you, even though I just took the whip out in church. He's no different. He's the same. He hates evil. Don't think you're going to go to Jesus' house and tell him an ugly story. I'm just saying maybe an ugly joke that's not good. And don't think he might whip you out of his house. Because, see, he hates evil. In the presence of him, there's no evil. And he drives that hypocrisy out. But you go to him and start telling him about how much you believe in the Word of God and trust him. He's right there with you. He's going to minister grace to you. He's going to minister grace even if you're ugly to him. But he's not going to have no hypocrisy. He likes you to be faithful with him. Amen? Be truthful. Because he wants you to have and operate in that same kind of faith that he did to help others. And he knows if you don't, you get into the devil's territory, you're up. He's going to come against you. He's going to make you weak. Verse 24. Therefore, Jesus said, I say to you, whatsoever things you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. See, that just shows us right there that what Jesus did in church, it was right. Because he was in total forgiveness with the Father. He hated evil. And to act and to speak against evil is okay. In other words, the church, we don't ever think that we got to be weekly church people, that we just agree with all kind of religions. I heard, you know, one customer this week just talking about how that, you know, she talked about things that's happening. We know what's happening on the news. All these killings, all these different things, and they give that a claim to God. I don't like that. See, that's evil. That's hypocrisy when they say that's the God that I serve. No, it ain't. And if I'm around their religion, I'm not going to just let it tickle my ears and I'm going to say something just to kind of, I don't want to offend them. No, I'm going to tell you who God is and who he ain't. And if that's in their religion, I know that religion, that ain't the God I serve. I love you. You need to get out of that cult. You need to get out of that hypocrisy, because that brings death. Everything God does, he does, is love. Amen. And but you can't, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together. You can't sit down with evil and be yoked up to it. Now, you can sit down and you minister life and grace. That's what the church is called to do. But we do not become yoked together. I never worked on a farm in the old days, but they talked about the old yokes, how they yoked two animals, two mules together. We can never be yoked together with evil. Just can't happen. Amen? No hypocrisy in the church. So concluding today, this year, let us be a people that stay refreshed in the presence of the Lord 24/7. A people that stay refueled. We stay in the Word of God, because that's our, you might say, that's our thermometer. That's what keeps our love walk strong, because we're staying in the Word of God so that we can stay out of hypocrisy. Don't even dibble in it. That's truth. The Word of God is truth. That's how we know right from wrong, is the Word of God. And it's a good rule to live by. And third, let us be a church, a people and a church that stays on fire. On fire for the kingdom of God. Just like we are today, and just like we are when we leave this place, that we will not settle for hypocrisy. Amen. Feed me what I want on my plate. I want the truth. Because I want to be blessed, and I want to be a blessing to others. Amen. Amen.